Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Talking Steelers Football. I'm Bob Labriola, joined, as always, by Mike Pursuta of the DVE Morning Show. Measurement week, let's call this, for the Steelers, an opportunity to measure themselves against the defending Super Bowl champion, New York Football Giants. And, you know, over the course of their history, I'm breaking protocol here.
Research.
I did some research. The Steelers have only in their history, one, two, three, four, five times have they beaten a defending Super Bowl champion. In 20 attempts.
It's not a very good batting average.
No, it is not. And the last time they played the New York Football Giants, they were the defending champions as well, 2008. The Steelers lost to them 21-14 at Heinz Field. Ben threw four picks. Was not a particularly pretty game for the Steelers. But, hey, Sunday will be another day. MetLife Stadium, 4:25 kickoff. First things first, what do you expect in terms of a crowd because of Hurricane Sandy and the ongoing mass transit situation there? You know, the league at this point, and it is now Thursday at noon, the league has committed itself to playing the game on time, on site. So that's 4:25 Sunday. I'm just curious. I don't know if people could get there. And
yeah, the only thing about that stadium to me, Bob, is it's not in Midtown Manhattan. It's not like Madison Square Garden or Yankee Stadium. I don't know that people take the subway there. It doesn't go there. It's in New Jersey. Now, how people get to New Jersey, if that's affected, maybe if you're from Manhattan, you take the PATH train, which is not running anymore, and then you take a bus. I'm not sure. But I think Giants games have always seemed like a pretty big deal to me in New York.
Absolutely.
And I think people get there, particularly with the Steelers coming to town. If it was the Kansas City Chiefs, maybe not so much. But I think this game has a little marquee value on their end as well. And it is a 4:30, 4:25 game, so you have a little more time to get there if that's, you know, if you got to come up with plan B travel-wise. I think those New Yorkers are a pretty scrappy bunch. I think they're going to show up and yell a little bit.
You know, the other thing about it is, you know, the Giants, I think at this point, you can make the case that they're the best team in the league. Now, I understand that there
you
are.
Could.
Yeah, well, I mean, Atlanta has a better record, yeah, and Houston has a better record. But I don't know if you would, you know, take the Giants and one or the other of those teams and take them to a neutral site for 2 weeks and expose them to the Super Bowl thing, that the Giants wouldn't win that game based on their experience and their understanding of what it takes to win those kind of games. But, hey, you know, we'll see what happens with that as well.
Certainly in the argument, it's probably four or five teams right now,
yeah,
that would be considered the best in the league, or you could argue that are the best in the league, and they would absolutely be one of them. Although, looking at their schedule, it's interesting. Is 6-2 6-2, or are there degrees of 6-2? And I relate that specifically to the pass defense because I also broke protocol. I can't get over that they gave up 415 passing yards.
And won.
And won. I can't get over that they gave up 415 passing yards despite six Dallas turnovers. What might that number have been with more possessions? I can't get over that they gave up 415 passing yards and almost gave up the winning touchdown inside of 10 seconds because Dez Bryant came down and his knuckles were out of bounds as he's bracing his fall, but he was open and caught the thing. And I'm thinking, how did this happen? And I looked at the Giants' previous track record. They had not given up 300 passing yards in a game prior to last Sunday. But they also had not played a team ranked higher than 14th in passing before taking on the Cowboys last Sunday. Now, they played Dallas in the season opener. Nobody's ranked anything. Everybody's 0-0. But maybe they just don't defend well against good passing teams. And at least, you know, what's most recently on film suggests they do not. And I think Pittsburgh's a pretty good passing team.
Yeah, I think so, too. You know, you mentioned about their pass defense. You know, the Dallas turnovers or the Giants takeaways, depending upon, you know, how you want to frame it. you know, that's the way the Giants have kind of, though, survived, I think, this
year.
Well,
one of them, the running back, ran into his guard and dropped the ball.
Oh, I'm
so,
not.
I mean, that's, you know, yeah, they have 24 takeaways. But one of them, Dez Bryant, ran the wrong route and left Romo out to dry, and he threw it where he thought the guy was supposed to be, and it went to little Stevie Brown. They're good, but, I mean, I get it. 6-2 says they're good. 24 turnovers says they're good. I am not, if I was the Steelers, and I couldn't get anybody to say this in the locker room, obviously, yesterday, but if I was a member of the Steelers and I was watching film of this game and I played offense, I would be rubbing my hands together saying, get me to MetLife Stadium somehow on Sunday. It's stats padding time.
Yeah, you know, there is definitely that possibility. I think, you know, the key there is going to be protecting the quarterback because, you know, as Tom Brady has learned the hard way a couple of times, the New York Football Giants can rush the passer with four down linemen, and they will rotate a bunch of those guys through. They're another one of those, like the Eagles and Bengals kind of teams. You know, they play four at a time, but they play eight over the course of a game. And there's some pretty good players there. So, yeah, I would think that if you can get them blocked on a consistent basis, you know, you could pretty much have your way with that secondary. But I believe, you know, that the Giants, when they come into a game, their attitude is, okay, try and block our guys. You want to throw it 45 times? Okay, we don't think you're going to block us 45 times.
Would you like a little research to back up
what I just said?
That they like four-man rush.
Yes.
Let's go back to that Dallas game. Giants are up 5, 3 minutes and 23 seconds left. Dallas gets the ball, and it's 22-yard line. So a touchdown beats you here.
Yeah.
Dallas runs 9 plays on that possession. The Giants blitzed once. Four-man rush the rest of the time. The last play of that possession was a 4th-and-1. This was the 74th of 83 Dallas snaps.
Okay.
And Tony Romo got pressured by 3 guys, OCU Manura, Linval Joseph, and Chris Canty. He threw under – he got chased out of the pocket, threw under pressure, and threw a pick. Then Dallas gets the ball back one more time, ran 9 more plays. The Giants blitzed 0 times. Last couple, they were rushing 3. Again, touchdown still beats you here. Dallas is on the Giants'
right
side of the 50. They're throwing passes into the end zone. On the last play, the 83rd offensive snap for Dallas, OCU Manura and Jason Pierre-Paul chased Tony Romo, and he threw under duress.
Yeah, and there were only 3 rushing that.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
2 of them got there.
Yeah.
I mean, they just keep coming.
Yeah.
They just keep coming.
And when you look at the numbers – 21 sacks for the Giants so far, 16 and a half of those by defensive linemen.
Yeah.
That, you know, and the guy who had – Chase Blackburn has 2. He's their middle linebacker who will not play. That guy who from Boston College,
Herzlich,
who overcame cancer, will start there at middle linebacker. But, yeah, the Giants, they like to do it with 4. They're good at doing it with 4. And when you only have to use 4, my arithmetic tells me that gives you 7 to cover.
And yet they can't cover. It's amazing. And if the rush doesn't get there quickly, zip, zip, zip.
Yeah, you know, I don't they, you know, their passing attack is potent with 12 touchdown passes, but their pass defense has given up 11. You know, in a lot of these areas, they are similar to the Washington Redskins in terms of their defense, you know, complementing their offense. The Redskins, however, in terms of points allowed, were pretty much even. The Giants, you know, hold more teams to field goals, have given up fewer rushing touchdowns. So, you know, that's where their edge in points scored and points allowed is. But
I think the best thing you can say, or best thing I can say about their secondary is they will catch the ball
when you throw it to them.
Yeah, like the throws better be on target, because if it's supposed to be inside shoulder and you throw it on the outside shoulder, they're going to come down with it. If it's a 50-50 ball, chances are they're going to come down with it. This probably isn't the game. Guys are open enough, you shouldn't have to do this, but I don't think this is a game where you say, I'm going to let so-and-so make a play and just throw it up there, because chances are their guy's going to make a play as well as your guy. But I think there's yards to be had. We haven't even started talking about Heath Miller yet, have we?
No.
Let's talk about Jason Witten. 18 catches, 167. That was Jason Witten. That wasn't the Cowboys' production. It was Jason Witten. They tried Keith Rivers covering him. They tried Michael Boley covering him. They tried Stevie Brown covering him. They tried Antrell Roll covering him. And they tried Prince Amukamara covering him. None of them did. Lab, this just in, Heath Miller's open. Steelers haven't left Pittsburgh yet. Heath Miller's open.
Flipping it around, the Giants offense, to me, quarterbacked by, I would call him underrated. Do you think Eli's underrated? I do.
Not anymore. I think prior to last year's Super Bowl he was.
Okay. This is a guy who passed for almost 5,000 yards last year. He's completing 63%. The thing that Eli will do that is, you know, not that good is he will throw interceptions.
Yes.
He has thrown 8 so far. Some of them look bad. But this guy's ability to bring teams back in the fourth quarter, I mean, you know, this is almost one of those games where you think, I don't know if I want to be ahead in the fourth quarter. I would almost rather be behind so you don't, like, wake the sleeping dog up. You know, just let it go. Because it seems uncanny lately the way that this guy has been doing this fourth quarter comeback stuff.
Yeah, and I guess they got 2 field goals against Dallas. They were losing going into the fourth quarter.
Right.
Despite having a 23-0 lead at one point. But the Washington game, the game prior to the Dallas game, RG3 drove the Redskins down and they scored to take the lead, and 77-yard touchdown pass to Victor Cruz on the second snap, and it's just right down the seam. Pretty good in the clutch, Eli Manning.
Maude Bradshaw, not a bad running back at this point.
Not bad, not Jim Brown.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. But, you know, he is the kind of guy, I believe, that if you are coming up to tackle him, do not try to just put your shoulder in him and knock him over. That does not work. He is too strong and powerful for that. He's a little built low to the ground, so, you know, his center of gravity is lower. You got to wrap him up and bring him down. But, you know, he is a guy, you know, you go back to that San Francisco game, what he did to them, the 49ers in the second half, they used Bradshaw a lot to run out the clock. They had a 24-3, 27-3 lead, whatever it was. And this guy is a tough runner between the tackles. He is a good ball control kind of running back if you do not, you know, take care of your business with him. The Giants' offensive line is pretty good. I mean, I think this is a good team. I see where you're saying that there are yards, you know, to be gained, and I don't know that I disagree with this. I just think that the Giants are one of those teams where the yards to them, I don't know that it means a whole lot. You know, how many touchdowns did Dallas score with all of those yards passing?
Well, 3.
I mean, that's not a lot. I don't think.
Not for a 400-yard game.
Right. So, you know, if that's what they're doing to the Steelers again, you know, it's going to be the same kind of game, and maybe, you know, Eli's the guy with the ball in his hand at the end. You know, while you and I talked on this should-be award-winning latest edition of Agree to Disagree, see that elsewhere on this very same website with our two little faces on the pumpkins. Did you see that?
Still haven't seen
very
that.
Well done. You know, we were talking about how we
hope
both.
I'm not a reindeer at Christmas.
I don't know.
I definitely don't want to be a leprechaun at St. Patrick's.
I was just going to say, what about an elf at Christmas? We were talking about how we both thought that it was the offense that won the game against the Redskins. I think that the offense also will need to play a significant role Sunday against the Giants, and by that I mean early on in the game.
Yeah, I agree, and that's why I am so curious to see what happens because. Hey, everything I just said is from watching one tape, and I have seen the Giants play a lot this year. I saw them play Philadelphia. I saw them play a couple other games. But again, they haven't gone against a passing attack as good as Pittsburgh's other than Dallas. And I think Dallas, when Dallas is on, Dallas can throw it around a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when Tony Romo is erratic, but when he's playing well, he plays really well.
Right. If you catch him on a hot day, right, you got problems.
Des Bryant's a train wreck emotionally, but he's a player.
Yeah.
Witten is Witten. They have some weapons. I didn't mean to sound like Ike Taylor there. But I want to see what happens. I think the Steelers' offense, Bob, is really close. If it was Soup, It's been on the stove, and it's just getting ready to boil over. And it's going to be pretty good soup if it starts running down the side of the pot because I think these guys are combustible. I really do. And it's been an adjustment process going all the way back to changing coordinators and all that and the injuries they've had to work around and everybody figuring things out. But we're about halfway into the season now, and you can see this thing starting to build a little week by week. You can see the running game producing and the effect that has. Time to start turning all this ball control into a 40-point game.
Yeah, I would like to see that too, or at least get – closer to a point a minute in terms of your time of possession. That Steelers at 36 last week.
That's a good starting point. But, right. Do that. Do a lot of it early, and it might be a nice trip to New York.
Well, let's hope so.
Or New Jersey.
Or maybe both. Well, no, right. Well, I don't think we're going to get to New York.
I don't think we're getting to New York.
No, I don't think so either. Okay, that'll do it for this edition of Talking Steelers Football.
If you can make it there, you can make it anywhere.
But we're not going to make it there.
Guess that means Mike Pursuta. We're limited.
I'm Bob Labriola. Aren't we limited? That is an understatement of the day. Thanks for listening. Talk to you Monday after the game.